Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bible, I think it's amazing. Let me get this over here. I'm super excited. I love when God does stuff like this. I don't know about you, but I love when God does some things that you just kind of blows your mind. So when we started out with this study, just to let you know, we're not this good in planning and preparation for, we were just going through the scripture. But I think it's amazing that when we started this study of Jesus teaching on the mountainside that we call the Sermon on the Mount, that we've gone through chapter 5, we've gone through chapter 6, and we're concluding with chapter 7, and we are going to finish next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, focusing on the authority and the power of Jesus and the way that he spoke. I think I'm super excited at just the way that God has worked this out. So next Sunday, we're going to wrap up this series on going through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And if you look up here, Pastor Chris did an amazing job and we've carried it through. If you weren't here last Sunday to see, to understand and to focus on what we were studying, participation trophy faith. And we looked at some scriptures last week. They're some of the scariest verses in the Bible for me personally and some of you that are sitting here. But if you go back and listen to that lesson, it will help you in regards to what we're talking about today. Because as we move on from what Jesus was speaking, I love the fact, the way that Jesus is sharing the heart of God, that he goes from what we were discussing last week to these verses in verse 24 of chapter 7. I'm going to be reading in the New King James. And Jesus said this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." Now, this morning, I just want to focus. And just so you know, this is old school morning. I'm going to be using a dry erase board, markers, and I don't have the technological ability to transfer this up there. So you have to, if you can't see, you might have to stand up or I can hold it up. But I'm going to be doing doodle art this morning, following along, okay? So the choice is yours. This is what he said. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So what I want to do is I hope this makes sense. But for everybody that's involved in this story, everyone, there's some common points, some common ground. So regardless of what the response was, there were some common things that I want to point out. Number one, they all heard the teachings of Jesus. So everyone heard the teachings of Jesus. You with me? Number two, the common ground that they all shared, that they invested in the building or the construction process. Everybody is building or constructing something with our lives. Are you with me? Number three, they experience severe storms in life. Common ground, storms. Then number four, they received a return. Everybody in this story received a return on their investment. These are some common ground points. Everybody heard the teachings. They invested in the building of the construction process. They experienced severe storms in life, and they received a return on their investment. So let's start out with the hearing. There is a huge difference, and nothing's changed throughout society. Nothing's changed with human beings since the time that Jesus proclaimed this lesson, this teaching on the mountainside. Nothing has really changed. There's a difference between hearing and doing. This is what I want you to think about, and this is a challenge this morning. Here's the challenge. We all, every one of us in here this morning, do something with what we hear. We just have to be honest about what we do from who we listen to. I don't know if that made sense or not. It made sense in my mind and for me when I was writing it and thinking about it. So let me say it this way. Who influences our actions with the greatest authority and power? Who in your life do you give authority and power to influence your actions? Now, obviously, you know, it's like Sunday school. If you ask the kids when they're studying, what are the two biggest answers to anything? Jesus and the Bible. You know, it just kind of fits. But even for us, think about this. Jesus, hearing, then responding to what he says with our actions. And this is a challenge, and this continues to be the challenge. And we talked about it last week, and I'm going to remind you of some of the verses I used last week. But this continues to be the challenge. Is Jesus, do you really make Jesus that authority or that power person in your life to do what he says? Or let me compare this and give you an example. Musicians, as one example. You hear the songs, the group, your favorite group. You hear, then you're responding to what they say with your actions. Do you know how many people, a group or a musician, they give that musician or that group authority and power because what they sing about is what we wind up doing with our actions because we're singing the songs, we're singing the words, we're singing the lyrics, and we bind to what they're saying by what we do or how we agree. Let me give you some other examples. Let me give you some quick reference examples of giving that authority and that power to somebody to influence your actions and the things that you do. This didn't used to be a thing, but it is now. Instagram influencers. I don't really buy into what they're saying. I just follow them, and you check whatever they're. I don't know. You post on the story. Chris Davis is still trying to explain to me how this works. Thank God for him helping me. But it's like, no, I don't really listen to it. But you view their posts multiple times a day, and then the reason they're called influencers, because they affect our actions and what we do, and we buy in, and what we wind up doing is we're giving them that authority and that power to influence what we do. Let me just mention another example, Kardashians. I know, in church, that's just such a ludicrous point. Athletes, business people, politician, and the list goes on and on. Who has that authority? Who do we give that authority, that power to? Because if we are allowing them to influence what we do, then why can't we just be honest and truthful? Then we are giving them some level of authority and power in our lives because we are following through. Who do you listen to? Who has the greatest influence on your actions? And don't just say Jesus like, oh, Jesus does. No, really think about it. And so let me read some of the same verses I read to you last week. A little bit different context, a little bit different application, but still the truth. James chapter 1, verse 22 in the NLT. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, we're only fooling ourselves. We're only fooling yourselves. So we're talking about being able to hear, but then doing something with it. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 in the New King James. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? It's a matter of doing. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and follow his commands. When we do, when there's action, when there's movement to his commands based on us giving him authority and giving him power in our lives, it affects what we do. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You talked about that word last week. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 in the ASB. By this we know that we have come to know him. If we keep do, there's action, there's involvement, there's something that we're doing with his commandments. The one who says, oh, I've come to know him, and does not do something does not have action with his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever follows, does something, has action, has movement, follows his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in him. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also walk, action, doing, applying, walk as he walked. Look at these verses. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to try to, hopefully, I'm a very visual person, so as I'm writing this down and going through this, and if you can't see it, stand up. I'm not going to do very well holding it up. Denny, you get the low point view. You may want to stand up at some point, but only if you want to see, okay? So let me show you something here. Both groups heard. Everybody heard. But only this one group were the doers. They had faith. This group, I want to make sure I say it right, they don't do what he says. So everybody heard the teachings, everybody heard what Jesus was saying, and there was a group that did something with it, that was faith. And then there was another group that they don't do anything with what he said, that's unbelief. Now let me just point something out, and let me show you something about this process. Every single person that heard what he was saying, every single one of us are in charge of building or constructing something with our lives, whether it's by faith or unbelief. So even in this story, what I want you to see is the way that they responded to what they heard, everybody was still involved in the construction process. Everybody was still building something. When we look across this room this morning, every single one of us have this in common. We are building something. We are constructing something. But it's based on somebody's truth. Does that make sense? So, let's move on from there. So, here we go. Now, so you start building. So, think about this. Let's be honest. As I've said, we're all building or constructing something. So what are we building on? Either the rock. We could call this God's truth. Or wisdom. Or we're building on sand, which is man's wisdom or philosophies. Every one of us here this morning, this lesson from Jesus has not changed. We're all making a choice to build on something. And what I find is this is where I get really, this is what blows my mind, because I'm old enough now and I've been around church and church people. I've been around Jesus followers and Jesus lovers, and sadly enough, there's a big difference between the two sometimes. That what we've done is this whole doing and building process is that I hear a lot of people, and I get this all the time, is that we've made this whole thing this intellectual participation. It's almost like information driven. And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, it's about doing. It's not about being perfect. It's not about perfect knowledge. It's about what are you doing with what he teaches. You know what I hear from a lot of people a lot of times when I'm talking to them? And this is usually the church people. It's not the people that have just come to Christ, their sins have been forgiven, and they're being washed away, and they're just blown away at God's mercy and grace. But it's a lot of times people that have been around church lingo, church, they've been around Bible stuff, and it becomes intellectual, and then we'll be having a conversation. This is what I hear a lot. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. I got that. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I got that. Been there, done that. Yeah, I know. Really? Do we? You see what I'm talking about? Is there's a difference when you're doing something with Jesus' teaching. I see a lot of people that do the Jesus nod, but what they're building is not on God's wisdom and God's truth. And just because we show up to a service doesn't mean that we're building our lives based on God's truth. We can be here nodding our heads saying, yeah, I know, I got that. But yet we're building on something else. We're constructing something different than what God's plan for our life is. Now, one of the things I want to share with you and I want to see is the reality is that most of us are going to face severe storms. We're going to face hard times. We're going to face things that are going to challenge us to the very core. And I don't know what those storms look like. If you look at the depiction here, it's a pretty colossal attack weather-wise. It's pretty impressive. It's devastating. And so here's the thing. The storms of our lives are tests for us. They flush things out and they reveal things. Here's a really tough part for us to embrace. How we build will affect the manner in which we weather the storms of life. Every single one of us. The way we build are going to affect the manner in which we weather the storms of life. And I've lived long enough that I've seen this. I've seen people that have church attendance, have Bible verses, have all this theology, and when a real storm comes, they kind of just gradually walk away from the faith. And I've seen this over the last 2 years. Some of you are examples of this, where you're kind of like, you question yourself, and then you make me question because the way you question yourself, but we're all hanging together, and I'm not sure what's going on inside of you. You're not sure what's going on inside of you. And then the storms hit, and then I'm like, oh, my word. Look at their faith grow. Because they didn't have everything together on the outside, but what was brewing inside by the Holy Spirit was real and genuine. And there was definitely some rock solid Holy Spirit stuff going on inside. And then when the storms come, it's just kind of like this unearthing of like, wah, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's awesome. And some of you right now, you are that testimony. You are that example of the grace of God becoming powerful and strong inside of you. And it was easy from the outside because it looked like, man, things need some repair and you kind of got some stuff over there. But when the storms come, that's when the proving shows that your faith is real and genuine. Let's move on to the next one. The return on investment. This is a reality of life. At some point, we will reap what we have sown. We will have some type of return on our investment. Both groups of people able to hear, they're building or constructing something, we're going to face storms, severe storms, and we're going to have some kind of return on our investment. This side, wait a minute, did I write the right word? Yeah. endurance and strength, or there you go.
Yep.
Destruction and failure, or endurance and strength? The way that we build, the effort that we put in, and please, I want to reiterate, every single one of us are putting some type of effort, and every single one of us are constructing, we are building a life. So when the storms come, when those severe storms come, what it does is it challenges our investment, and you're going to get some type of return on your investment. And this is a part where a lot of church leaders have veered away from the teaching of the Word of God because it doesn't itch people's ears, and it doesn't, like, oh, that's great. This is wonderful. Like, if we come to Jesus, then we're going to have a Maserati in like 2 years, and we're going to have health, wealth, and it's just going to be amazing. Because they present a gospel that's like outside in stuff. Like, God is going to incredibly increase our bank accounts, and somehow that's going to bring us internal peace. When Jesus is constantly saying through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the record of the Sermon on the Mount, no, it's just the opposite. This upside down kingdom isn't outside in like the religion of the day. This upside down kingdom is inside out. It's this beautiful reverse process of what we've made it out to be. Now, something I want to make extremely clear this morning, and I want you to see this, and repentance and change. I want you to understand that repentance and change is possible at any point in this process. So this is what's so cool here. And I've told you before, I'm a little dense, so sometimes I hear, I just go off and do my own thing. Or the voice of God says, hey, Tim, I want you to do that. No, I'm good. And so whether you come over here, what's really cool about this is at any point, the gift of repentance and forgiveness is available regardless of where we go in here. So I can be over here, and then all of a sudden I'm like, bad choice, go back over here. And then, okay, maybe I've really invested. I don't believe, but I'm building something. You know, and then all of a sudden, there's this level of understanding that you yield to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, I believe, is working in most of our lives to get our attention. And then we come back over here, and we're like, oh man, I repent. God, forgive me, change my life, help me. And then anywhere in this process, we can go. But here's what a lot of us do in this process. We are so bent on what our own will and our own desire and our own belief about what is the proper construction process that, let's just be honest, a lot of us don't really give God a lot of options other than those destructive, failure-oriented times where we're kind of like the proverbial flat on our back and we have no other options. And so we say, okay, God, that didn't work out. I don't expect you to forgive me because I don't deserve, I'm not worthy. And Lori and I hear that almost every week in this church family. And you know what? None of us are worthy. Now, I mean, so then we say, okay, God, and so it's over here, and then we start over here, and then we have to learn. And here's the beautiful part, is that God wants us. He wants us to come to him. And some of us, and I'm telling you, I'm older now, but what you don't realize is that there have been so many times in my life, the reason that our church family is pursuing what we're pursuing here is that none of us have lived this perfect side. If you've lived this perfect side, then you are in this strange minority, because the majority of this church family, including me, has lived on this side for way longer, and I bounce back and forth, and it's just like schizophrenic Tim all over the place here. Because I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm trying to figure things out. You understand what I'm saying? So, let me say this. Most of us are guaranteed. Oh, no, I jumped over something I wanted. I think it's important to realize. You just need to hear me say this. I'm going to say it just to make the point. The earlier in the process that we repent, the greater the damage control. Do you get what I'm saying? There's been times in my life where by the time I got down here, man, I was just trying to survive and make it through, but there's a lot of fallout in my life. Big boo-boos. Just damage control was all over the place. The earlier we print, the greater the failure, damage, or destruction control. Now, most of us are guaranteed that we're going to face severe storms in life. God will be with us through the storms. He will help us and assist us in supernatural ways. Supernatural touches. And that's one of the reasons why Lori and I stand next to a lot of you and say, no, trust me, we understand. You don't get stone thrown from us. We're not judging you. We're not like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you've been on this side. No, that's why when you come to us and think that we're going to be like flabbergasted and, oh my, they're going to think the worst of me, we're like, I get it, understand. We're working on it. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be about grace. It's supposed to be about mercy. It's supposed to be about us standing next to each other. Some of you right now, what I have been trying to do, especially some of you men, is I'm trying to reinforce and help you understand that you're not alone. And the church is not about be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that. And you're such a failure. And if you really love God, you wouldn't do that. No, well, you get somebody around you that stands next to you that tries to help you. And right now we've got several men that I'm trying to put a group of men around these men to reinforce and strengthen and help them understand. Number one, they're not alone in the battle. But the men that are surrounding them understand this whole process of building and challenge and strength and failing, and that's why we need to be there for one another. Most of us have not experienced a church family like that. What we've experienced is a church family that looks down our nose if we don't achieve some level of expected perfection. Well, I can't live it. I haven't lived it. I'm learning, I'm growing. I should, I'm older. I'm not 25. You get what I'm saying? So we need to be there for one another. For me, you know why I understand this? In the teachings of Jesus, experiential understanding. Every one of these points are real for me. Been there, done that, still struggle. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If you think that this is a church family where we've all got our stuff together and we're all like perfect angels and everything's good, you're in the wrong place. Because this is a hospital for hurting, spiritually hurting, devastated people. This is a spiritual hospital. This is a triage center. This is a clinic for people that their hearts and their souls, where they can come clean and say, hey, I've got some serious cancer inside. And we're like, hey, we got the doctor for you. It's going to take time. And some of you, please hear me. And somebody needs to hear this morning. I know there's a couple. I know your life, and I know that how we're battling on your behalf. But there's somebody else that needs to hear this. Some certain things, when you've put yourself in a position to where destruction and failure is devastating, and you've created some habits and some addictions, please hear me understand. God can rescue anybody from anything, but certain things take a lot more work and effort. Because it's not about God forgiving you, it's about you forgiving you. It's not about God rearranging your mind, it's about you changing your thinking and believe that you actually can experience this side of the board. Are you with me? So, let me show you real quick. At each point along this, you can experience, you can proclaim repentance and experience forgiveness. So let me show you how it works. You come over here, you're doing great, and guess what? You wind up struggling with unbelief. Maybe you don't even realize, it just happened. You catch yourself and then all of a sudden, repent. Do you know that any point, this is where some of you are like, but I'm just such a, I mean, oh my goodness, I just struggle. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the group. So you know what my Christian life has looked like? My pursuit of growing in Christ has looked like most of my life? And then I read a verse where it says, he will forgive you 70 times 7. Whoa, thank you. And that's why, if you're looking for spiritual leadership that's like, well, if you just quote four verses and if you just pray, that's not the kind of family we are. Because I'm trying to encourage you to love and good works, and in your pursuit of Christ, I want us to help each other stay over here on this side. But there's not anybody that's that perfected, because Jesus nails, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus nails the most righteously perfect presentation group of people during that time, because on the outside, they had everything, and people, and what did Jesus say about them? Yeah, you've got all this stuff together on the outside, but inside, you're like graves. You're like stinking bones, a graveyard. You're disgusting. The inside of your pot is terrible. You know what that tells me? That when it's all said and done, none of us can live this way perfectly. We need God's help. This is a messy process, isn't it? Some of you are over like, well, that's it. But some of you are sitting there like, I love you, Pastor Tim. That's how I felt when I walked in here this morning. But you showed up. Hallelujah. Guess what? There's times on Sunday mornings where I feel that way, and I show up. And you know what? God meets me there. What I think is so amazing is Jesus is constantly trying to get us not only to hear, but just do something by faith with what he's asking. So for you, who have you been given power and authority to? Is it really Jesus alone? And I don't know about you, but that's my heart's desire. But I have to readjust my knob on a regular basis. No, Jesus, it's you. No, it's not you. No, Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Because we're learning how to be doers. We're learning how to do something with what he says. So let me just say this. Some of you have been taking baby steps. Please hear my heart when I say this. But you don't even meet your own expectations. Maybe you've hurt somebody. Maybe it's just the way you are. Maybe you're a perfectionist, so you just feel like you should be able to flip the switch, read a couple Bible verses, and the seraphim and cherubim show up in your bedroom to encourage you. If that happens to me, I'm going to be screaming, running out of the house. Okay? Say, Tim, really? I'm pretty sure. Lord, you're on your own. You get what I'm saying? The process of learning to do and apply is a failure and success and failure process. And I feel like that what we've done in the church for a long time is we've removed, the church doesn't do very well dealing with failure. Some of the situations going on behind the scenes in this church family, we deal with failure every week. We deal with devastating, sinful choices every week. You know what our goal is? To love. To encourage. I'm thankful for the privilege of learning that lesson. Because there's so many times where I'm standing between two damaged families, two damaged people who want me desperately to take sides, and I will not. I'm going to stand for truth, and I'm not going to make excuses for justice and for righteousness, but I'm going to do my best by the grace of God to love everybody. That's an invitation. That's a teaching that Jesus laid on me. It's not something new, but it's not something I saw modeled in my past either. So is this path scary for me? Absolutely. So if you're scared, you're surrounded by people that understand those scary steps. But what I want to say is usually when you're challenged and scared to death, that's usually faith. Because when you got it all under control, that's you being under control. And when Jesus says, you hear my words, I want you to come do, I'm walking a new path. It's this upside down kingdom. And I'm like, I've never been this way before. And he's like, I know, just hang on, stay close. So Father, my heavenly dad, I'm just blown away by your patience and your graciousness with me personally. Oh, thank you that you have not met my expectation, and that when I think that you should just give up on me and be done with me, you're not. And so, God, I want to say thank you for your loving kindness and your patience and your grace, your mercy. Thank you that you love us more than we have any clue about. And I believe that there's somebody here this morning that needs to be affirmed of your love. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for his authority. Thank you for his power. And Father, I ask that you would draw us to yourself today, that we'd respond, that we would take action steps toward you and with what you teach us. And Father, I'm asking that in the name of Jesus that you would transform this church family, transform us individually and together, that when the storms come, that because of you we can stand, and that we can stand next to one another because of your mighty power and what you are doing. So I ask that you would draw people to yourself today, that we would respond to the wooing of your spirit. And God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to transform that person that needs your touch, that they would be reborn, that they would become alive spiritually, that they would be changed because they're going to look to you and take you at your word and believe you and begin to implement what you say in their lives. So God, you do in us what you want to do. Father, we pray this right here, but for so many churches that are meeting right now, that your spirit would be mighty, that there would be repentance and forgiveness proclaimed in Jesus' name. Amen.